Welcome to Morse Code and Inspector Morse Podcast. I'm your host, Shukri. So we finally start Series 3, Episode 1, Ghost in the Machine. Fun episode. It was funny for me because I enjoyed analyzing it myself more than watching it a little bit. And I liked the episode because I love Morse, but there is something about the class dynamic, which I talk about a lot in this episode. And we get a couple of different characters, new themes. I bring up some of the themes I read about in the David Bishop book, which is basically the theme of Lewis becoming a more empowered character and then comedy being used more, especially in the interactions between Lewis and Morse. So lots of fun analysis. I'm really excited to jump into Season 3. I'm going to try to get a few episodes out in the next month or so because I just remember liking this series specifically, Series 3 of Morse. And, you know, we get a lot of good stuff in this episode. So I hope you enjoy Series 3, Episode 1, Ghost in the Machine. Please, if you haven't yet, leave a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you can, I would really appreciate it if you can leave a comment, hopefully a 5-star positive comment on Apple Podcasts or Spotify if they allow you, because it really helps drive viewers and listeners to this podcast. So I really appreciate it. If you want, you can always email me because I like to read the emails. And the Morse community is really cool, as I've said before. Lots of really nice emails that I've read in the past. And I appreciate seeing how much this series influences you. So hope you enjoy this episode of Morse Code and Inspector Morse Podcast. I appreciate you for listening. Thank you. I'll see you after the music. An Inspector Morse Podcast. I'm your host, Shukri. Now, today I'm going to be discussing Season 3, Episode 1, Ghost in the Machine. And as usual, I will start with a quick plot summary. So in this episode, we have Sir Julius Hanbury, who is murdered. And Morse and Lewis spend most of their time on his estate, the Hanbury estate, interviewing the two main suspects, Lady Hanbury and John McKendrick. They also interview Michelle, the au pair, who works for the Hanburys and lives with them. And she's also, we find out, blackmailing Sir Julius over some pictures. And the actual murderers, Lady Hanbury, possibly because of self-defense. I'm not sure if you think it's self-defense. I don't know if it was. It's a little bit vague. I could see the argument for it being a self-defense murder or for it being just a cold, calculated kind of crime. I would lean towards the latter because of the character that we experience through the episode. But, you know, you can decide on that one for yourself, obviously. And then we have also John McKendrick, who cut Roger Meadows' brakes. Meadows was part of this blackmailing scheme. That, even just saying that, makes me wonder if it was something that was, you know, premeditated. So, because it was kind of extreme to cut a guy's brakes, but we'll get into some of this throughout the podcast. Okay, so that's the storyline, pretty straightforward. And I'll start by saying that this isn't one of my favorites in the Morse series, and it's mainly because of the setting. But I will say this, as I was like coming up with notes and thinking about what I want to say for this podcast, it was fun to think about. It's a fun episode to reflect on specifically because of the class dynamic. So even though it wasn't my favorite episode, I still enjoyed it because it's Morse. And at the same time, it was a fun one to analyze in a lot of ways. And it is a fun one to analyze. So to me, the drawback is the setting, because setting is big to me. I want to see Morse in Oxford, at colleges, around the town, you know, in his cozy pubs. This episode was dominated by this estate, the Hanbury estate, in the countryside. Now, it's beautiful, you know, I think we all can agree on that. But that's not my preference, and I'm guessing most Morse viewers have the Oxford preference because that's the typical Morse setting. And this is an issue that arises on Morse occasionally, but not very often. So I wanted to throw that out there to see what you think. I don't know if you also had the same experience if you watched this episode. Now, I did like the beginning of this episode because we get Morse in this internal state of bliss, this musical operatic ecstasy that he's in. You know, I love how his internal states contrasted with Morse taking public transportation. And so it's nice to see the protagonist, you know, in this escapist kind of mode within this beautiful scene. I just liked it. I thought it was cool to see because we've all been there. Most of us could identify with escaping into your podcast or into your music. So that was really well done to have Morse do that. And of course, it would be some sort of classical music or opera music that he's listening to. And to stick with the classical music, in general, we didn't get a lot of it in this episode, which was part of a general shift that I noticed. And I noticed it watching, and then when I was reading the David Bishop book, which is a really nice summary of the episodes, I like to tap into that source after. I don't like to read the whole section because I don't want it to cloud and influence what I'm writing about, but I do enjoy reading the plot summary just in case I miss anything. So I kind of recommend it if you're like me in that sense. But the Bishop book does mention something that has influenced my analysis, in that there was a goal because of a new producer to add more comedy to the show. So the shift was basically adding more comedy and also adding more, I guess, like a, more of an equal relationship between Lewis and Morse. So pay attention to that as I analyze season 3 in the next month or so. So I think that's kind of interesting to think about. They also wanted to add a new female character, Dr. Grayling Russell, which was very surprising to me, not because I don't remember Dr. Russell from my previous watches of the show, but I had no idea that Max was only a 2-season character. I don't know about you, but when I think of Inspector Morse, I think of Max. And I was just wondering, just reflecting on this, because why was he only a 2-season character, but he's stuck in my mind as one of the core characters when it comes to this series? And so I kind of came up with like 2 guesses as I was reflecting on this, because it was a little startling to me to see no Max after 2 seasons. And my 2 guesses are that, first off, just the actor, Peter Woodthorpe, he did a great job. I mean, he played this quirky, very memorable character. So that just shows you the power of acting, the power of, in this case, Peter Woodthorpe's acting. And you can't deny that, especially for the younger audience, the influence of Endeavor probably influenced my perception of Max as a huge character on this show, because Max was, or I should say young Max, was a significant part of the, I mean, he was on the whole series, right? And so that may also have been part of my thought process, but it was surprising. I wonder if you felt the same way, like no Max after 2 seasons. And I just wonder why. Please email me if you have any answers to this, because I was really surprised by the lack of a Max character. And why would the show do that? I get that they wanted to add more female characters, which I think is great, but to replace Max, you know, that just seems like a kind of a surprising move. But maybe there was something else going on. Especially, I've noticed this with British shows specifically, there is a lot of change in acting or in the actors when it comes to these shows that you wouldn't see typically on an American show. So now one thing is clear, whether it's, you know, Dr. Russell or Dr. Hobson later on, this show loves, and I guess you could say Colin Dexter and the writers and the producers, they love this idea of having their main character falling in love with a pathologist. I don't know what's going on there, but they love it. They love the dynamic. And I always, though, personally thought that Morse was a little too old for Russell and Hobson. But Lewis and Hobson, that was the perfect relationship. Not only could you root for that relationship because of their temperament, but they just seemed a better match in terms of age, you know? They had the same interests, and I always loved watching Lewis and seeing them kind of on their dates and that sort of thing, because, you know, I could just see my wife and I doing the same thing. So that's, you know, seeing Morse with Dr. Russell, I don't really buy it because of the age difference, but I guess that is one of the flaws always with the Inspector Morse series is matching John Thaw with the right female character as a love interest. I've noticed that throughout, that it's a little bit of a flaw in this series. So as far as Dr. Russell's character goes, I'm a big fan. She's funny, more transparent than Max, so that gives us something new in general. Plus, she's a strong woman, and she exhibits this type of late 20th century feminism that Morse is kind of thrown off by, you know? He really is. And he is. Morse is an open-minded guy. We love Morse, right? But he's traditional in certain ways. So Russell helping Morse enter the 1990s here. Let's face it, you know, this is the 1990s. So she's helping him enter this new decade. And that's fun to watch. And I enjoy that dynamic between the two. I thought that was nice. So Morse, he clearly loves it. He does seem to enjoy his banter with Dr. Russell. And that's pretty immediate, you can tell. So I like that. I like that aspect. I also enjoyed how Lewis was super comfortable with Russell and so skilled at engaging with her. You notice that right away? You know, he introduces her to one of the officers, and he basically, I don't have the quote in front of me, but to summarize it, he's like, you know, she's one of us. She's really cool. I like that because Lewis is very emotionally intelligent as a character, and right away he wants to let the officer know, like, you know, I know you're not used to a female pathologist, but she's really cool. And that was nice to see, and I enjoyed that about Lewis. And to stick with Lewis, some of the things, now that we know that the producers wanted to make Lewis a stronger character, he was really confident with Morse in this. One of my favorite quotes, which I do have, I wrote it down over here, is that, you know, it's when Lady Hanbury is talking to Morse and Lewis, and there's always this interesting dynamic where Morse is sort of teaching Lewis, like, this is how you engage with this social class. Well, they're talking about words, and Lewis says, well, you know, he does crosswords, knows all sorts of words that nobody ever uses. And I just thought that was amazing. You know, just a little bit of a dig at Morse. The word was replevin, which I had to look up. I'm like, I don't know what this word is. And it's one of those, come on, Morse. No one who is not obsessed with crosswords knows that word. And I just love that Lewis used that as a friendly little poke at Morse, which is great. You know, it shows a confidence and a comfort and the rapport that they have with one another. We also get to see Lewis as this, and I really identified with this, especially professionally. Lewis is this young tech guy on in this series who has this confidence with the new computer technology of the late 80s, early 90s. And you can contrast this with Lewis with the old Lewis later on in the series, right? So I have this personal connection. I was talking to my wife about this, and we were having a fun conversation about, you know, remember when you were young in your profession? Like, I started teaching in 2007, and I could totally identify with young, tech savvy Lewis. I've never been a Luddite or someone who's like anti-technology. Never. I like technology, but I've also never been like cutting-edge technology at the same time. But as time goes on, you know, you kind of turn into the older version of Lewis. You know, you use technology, but the old school methods are what matters to you in your profession. So I love that, to sort of reflect on my own life and my own experience as a teacher. And, you know, I personally, my wife and I were both saying, like, we would rather be the older guy who's really just using the older school methods versus just like always seeking out the technology. So I was wondering if you've had a similar experience with that. I think it's well written to present Lewis in that way, and to also think about Lewis in the Lewis series is totally different, right? He's not like that at all. And I don't know, was Hathaway a tech guy? I don't really think he was. Hathaway was more of a just a hard worker, grinding it out sort of guy. So that is a little bit different from young Lewis, but just random thoughts on that. Another aspect of the Morse Lewis dynamic, which was well done, was Morse describing the old money high culture to Lewis. Morse has this perfect background for this case especially, which is he gets the culture, he gets the upper class, he gets the arrogance, which dominates this specific upper class environment, Morse gets it in a deep way. Lewis, he's lost, right? You could tell Lewis is lost, and you can see that at times in this episode. So whether it's the aesthetic preferences of the old money elite or the mundane customs, like, you know, the drinking of the tea, sort of the tea ceremony, which does seem very ceremonial for Lady Hanbury. Just also the perspective that they have, or like that this class has, of what Morse and Lewis should be doing, like what their role is, which includes being manipulated, right? When it comes to Lady Hanbury and John McKendrick. Well, Morse gets it, and that helps him solve this case. So I thought that was a nice theme running throughout. Even though they're trying to make Lewis more of an equal to Morse, he's still a newcomer, still a rookie in a lot of ways, and Morse has to school him when it comes to the elite. But I will say this, even in the more recent Lewis series, Lewis is always a little uncomfortable with the upper class, and I think it's Hathaway who helps guide him to understanding because of Hathaway's background. But that's for another day if we ever get into that. To the Lewis series. Okay, let me quickly go back to how this episode started. I see in my notes here that the opening scene was like 27 minutes long. I mean, and by opening, I mean once we get to the final discovery of the body. And like I said before, the setting was a bit dull to me, and 27 minutes with this Hanbury estate, it was just too much. It was a lot. And we don't typically get that in Morse, such a big intro. It's not the ideal, in my opinion, in this genre, and you may disagree, but my ideal is a little bit different. I would say, you know, I want to see more of the protagonist. I want to see more Morse in his setting, in his element, with a quick murder, learning about the suspects with Morse on the screen, which we kind of got in this, but with more Oxford. So I think that setting issue was a big deal for me. Not enough pubs. Let's face it, we need more pubs when it comes to Morse. This is like, that's what makes this series so cool. Pubs in Oxford. Okay, let me get into Lady Hanbury and John McKendrick. Both actors did a wonderful job, as did Professor Ullman, who I'll get into a little later, just briefly. But Hanbury was extremely unlikable. So Patricia Hodge was the actress who played her so well, played her in this detached, living in her bubble, kind of the type of person who thinks that she can get away with murder, you know, because she's smarter than everyone else, based on, I don't know why she thinks that, but she did. And then you have the McKendrick character, who is this simple guy, easily manipulated by Lady Hanbury, really kind of no spine sort of person. And he's the perfect partner because she can manipulate him to doing whatever she wants. And, you know, Morse, he approached both differently. With Lady Hanbury, he respected her traditions, let her talk, which was essential to figuring out the crime, and he used her words against her. With McKendrick, Morse was dominant. He was the alpha, right? Morse was the alpha when he talked to McKendrick. And let me repeat something I've probably said in previous episodes if you're a longtime listener of this podcast. Morse's ability to just adapt, to adjust to different environments, to different people, to various situations. That's what makes him such a great detective. And we see this in how he engages with Lady Hanbury and with John McKendrick. Even Lewis in the later series, he doesn't approach Morse in this category. He's not at that level, I think. He has just a different style. So I just wanted to say that. Now the Dr. Ullman character, briefly, I think he represents a common theme in the Morse series, which is the pettiness of the intellectual class, more specifically the intellectual class from the academic world. I guess you could say more specifically from the Oxford community, so like an elite college institution. And we see this with how Ullman behaves, but also like just the election in general, the self-righteousness. Even in the final dialogue, this wasn't with Dr. Ullman, this was with Dr. Charles Hudson, where he just goes off on this diatribe, this long diatribe where he's describing how his retirement has been postponed and, you know, this woe is me kind of thing. Look at Morse's face in this scene at the very end. He gives Hudson this nod, you know, like get over yourself, man. this isn't a big deal. You're complaining about this cush job you have and your retirement. And I didn't notice this because I was taking notes the first time I watched this, but the second time I watched it, just sort of casually after I took notes, I noticed the nod that Morse gives him, which just added so much to it, that get over yourself nod. So pay attention to that if you want to rewatch that scene. It's a really great example of how John Thaw did these little things which said so much about how the Morse character is viewing, in this case, the Hudson, Dr. Hudson character. All right, so I want to give some random thoughts, which I'll start doing on this podcast more with sort of like things that I noticed but that I didn't get to in the main portion of the podcast. So some random thoughts on the episode before I finish. One was, I loved the lockpicking scene, which was just really funny, you know, when Morse can't get through the door and then Lewis just picks the lock. And then another funny scene, which I guess you could say this is all sort of, you know, fitting in with that theme that they want to do, which is add more comedy and more power when it comes to the Lewis character, empowering his character. So another funny scene was Lewis trying to get McKendrick to write sympathize down. You know, that whole, like, does he spell it with a Z or with an S scene? This was a clever way to incorporate Morse's obsession with words into the eventual resolution of the case. So I really like that. And then also I wanted to mention, I wonder what you think about the Michelle Au Pair character, and even with Roger. I don't know. I know she was a part of this story, and there was definitely this jealous, envious storyline that went along with it. I just didn't think she was that necessary. There could have been an episode without her. I would have rather had more character development with Morse and Lewis rather than focusing on this random Michelle Au Pair character. So another scene that I highlighted was the pub scene. I can't remember the couple's name, but Morse's distaste with the social envy that takes place in this scene is so clear in this scene. So Morse basically describes the interaction as sour, which is interesting because Morse is, if you think about it, highly critical of the aristocracy throughout this episode. So I was wondering why. What's the difference between Morse's critique of Lady Hanbury and her behavior versus this older couple in the pub? We actually, just to remind you, it's the woman from the beginning of the episode who rides in the car with Lady Hanbury, and then we see her in the pub. What's the difference for Morse? Why is he so disgusted? Because this is a very important characteristic, I think, that we've seen now with Morse. And this is my answer. I just think Morse is more critical in a sociological, psychological type of way, sort of a detached critique of how social class influences behavior and how the detective, Morse in this case, should be approaching privilege, which he explains to Lewis many times in this episode. Now, the characters in the pub, they're just envious, right? They're just jealous people. And Morse doesn't have any time for that. That's probably why we like Morse. We wouldn't like a character who's jealous and envious. And Morse sees a difference there. And I do as well. All right. So I give this a 7.5 out of 10. Solid episode. Not enough Oxford. Not enough of the fun pub scenes that we get and just the historical environment of Oxford. I also have to say, you know, I'll miss Max, because he's a great character, and I can't believe he was only on for 2 seasons. But I'm also excited about this Dr. Russell Morse dynamic, even if I think the age difference is a little bit much. I'm also interested in seeing this theme of comedic change and, you know, empowering of Lewis. So those are all things I'm looking forward to with season 3. I recall it being a season that I liked a lot, so I'm looking forward to watching it. One more thing, which I'll mention again, is please leave a review if you can. You know, leave comments too. I've gotten such wonderful emails from you guys, and I really appreciate it. The Morse community is really active and a very generous, friendly community. So please, I love seeing the emails. But also, if you could leave comments on Apple Podcasts, for example, leave ratings on Spotify and Apple, that really helps generate interest, because a lot of people will look, and if they see a good review or a bad review, that influences them to click on the podcast. So please share it with a friend, share it with the Morse community, and leave those reviews. And I love the emails. Send me the emails. I love reading them. And it really makes my day to hear that you enjoy the podcast. So thanks for listening to Morse Code and Inspector Morse Podcast. I'll see you soon.